Well, good evening out there in internet land. We're glad that you could join us for this service. And Lord willing, we'll have this each Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. I just want to remind you again about we're not having our normal prayer service. And so if you do have prayer concerns, please contact the church office. Sharon will put those on the prayer list that she'll be emailing out so you know the things to pray for. And, of course, that's something that's an extra heavy burden. We'll try to mention it in this service over the internet here, too. If you have your Bibles at home there, wherever you're at, 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we're going to be reading beginning in verse 5. It says, "Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself." Now, verse 6, the key verse here. "But godliness with contentment." Contentment is great gain. If you have something that was very valuable, let's say maybe you got a painting that's been in your family, and you had the painting for many years, and you finally had it appraised, and it's a painting that's worth $10,000, very valuable. You certainly wouldn't just hang it outside your front door for anybody to come by and take from you. You would treasure it and say, I don't want anybody to steal that. And here in this verse, in verse 6, God tells us that we have something that's very valuable. In fact, it calls it great gain, and that is contentment. Contentment is something that has great value to it. And the reason I'm sharing this message tonight, certainly we're in an unusual situation in our country, and certainly all around the world too, with the coronavirus. And it's very concerning to people. Just today, in the state of Florida here, the governor announced a lockdown, and there's a lot of uncertainty about that. What does that mean? There's a lot of uncertainty about how serious this is and what's going to happen with the virus. It's distressing. It can cause people to fear and worry. And a great tool that we have, something that's very valuable, is contentment to help us in this time with this trouble. But it's important to remember, contentment is something Paul says in Philippians. We'll look at it in a few minutes here, that you can learn, and essentially you must choose to do. If I put a box, let's say a box up here, a cardboard box with $100,000 and $20 bills in it, and said it's available for anyone, what would you have to do to get it? Well, you'd have to choose to go and pick it up. You can't say I'd like to have it. To have it, you have to come and take possession of it. And that's the same way with contentment. You can, in the midst of this difficult time, be content and thus have something that's very valuable and thus also very important, something that'll help you through difficult times. So here's back to the illustration. If you had something valuable, would you just let somebody steal it? And don't allow the coronavirus and the uncertainty of our situation in our country right now rob you of contentment. We got to remind you that contentment is not just material things. A lot of times we talk about being content. We'll talk about money or some kind of possession like a home or a car. You know, I want a bigger home. I want more money. I want more car, a better car. But contentment can be many different things. Sometimes it could deal with your appearance. Are you content with how God made you, with how your ears look and how your nose is and all those things? So it could have to do with your health. You know, the Apostle Paul had an a thorn in the flesh, it says in Corinthians, and he asked God to take it away. He wouldn't. So he always had a health situation, in a sense, in his life. It could be family situation. I'm not content with who my family is or what my family's doing. It could be about a job. But what I want to emphasize to you tonight in this area of contentment is your circumstances. Will we be content in our circumstances? And again, we just mentioned this COVID-19, this virus. People are just, they're worked up and they worry and fear. But we can learn to be content and thus help us in a situation. If you have your Bibles, Philippians chapter 4 tells us some important truths, Philippians 4, that to teach us why contentment is so important. Why is it so valuable? Why should we embrace it? And we're going to read these verses, and we'll be looking at them again as we go through here. But beginning in verse 11, Paul says here, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." Now, it's interesting that Paul, I think he lived in uncertainty quite often. He didn't always know exactly what was going to happen, and he went through all kinds of stuff. He was in prison. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was in a shipwreck. He had people reject him, had people throw rocks and stone him. And he said, whatever state I am, therewith to be content. Verse 12 says, Paul says, I know how to both to be abased, you know, that's bad things, and how to abound when life seems to be going good. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now here's the key, verse 13, what Paul understood and allowed him to be content when things were difficult and when things were going well. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So why is contentment so important? Because it allows God to work in your life and provide what you need, whatever the situation might be. It's very valuable. First off, it'll help you through difficulty. Being content will help you through difficulty. Again, a lot of people are having a health issue. They're sick. They get this virus, and it's very worrisome. Some people die. Some people get very sick and don't die. Some people get it, and they just feel a little bad, and they get over it. And so when we have a bad health situation, I can do all things for who? Christ. I can be content because God will give me what I need to help me through this difficulty. Maybe it's healing, and certainly it'll be grace. But I can be content because God will help me through this difficulty. You have a job and you think, I'm about to lose it. Maybe you already have, because your company, your business that you work for has to shut down during this time. And that is a tough situation. But contentment will help you through difficulty. Maybe you have worry for your family. And it can be a worrisome time. Maybe you have elderly family members, a parent or even a grandparent, and you're worried about their health. Being content will help you through difficulty. Secondly, it'll help us through our disappointments. You ever been disappointed? Things didn't go exactly the way you wanted until you didn't get the job you wanted. You didn't get the raise you wanted. That was disappointing. Somebody didn't do what you thought they ought to do. Maybe a family member, a child. You just didn't get what you wanted. And there's a lot of disappointments. And, you know, as they're learning more things about this virus, you realize that they don't know exactly what's going to happen. Maybe you had a glimmer of hope. Maybe we'll all be finished with this by April 15th. And now a lot of the warnings and things that they want people to do is going through to the end of April. And maybe you're disappointed by that. Contentment can help you with your disappointment. And lastly, why is contentment is a very valuable thing? It can help us in our decisions. It can help us in our decisions. Have you ever made a bad decision? A lot of times, this might have not to do with the coronavirus situation, but, you know, I just won't, you know, I'm just not happy until I get this car. I got to have this car. I got to have it. And then you purchase it, even though you can't afford the payments, and you put yourself in a tough situation because you made a poor decision. We need to grasp a hold of something, and that is to be content. Contentment will help us through difficulties. It'll help us when we're disappointed, and many times will help us make better decisions. Now, I need to back up something I didn't say about contentment earlier. We're talking about mainly our circumstances tonight. But being content doesn't mean you don't try to do what you ought to do. If all of a sudden you started feeling bad and you went and got tested and you had coronavirus, You say, well, God says I should be content. I just have it. That's it. And I'm not going to do anything about it. Is that what it means to be content in your circumstances? No. You need to go to the health people, the doctor, and try to do the things you need to do for your health and to protect the health of your family. So contentment is very valuable. It's very important. We should embrace it because when we're content, it allows God to do something in our life, to provide what we need. And again, I don't know what each one of you may be facing because of the coronavirus, but if you'll be content, you'll see God help you through that difficulty, that disappointment. Just let me briefly just say this. What does lack of contentment do? If I'm not content, I'm just not happy that the coronavirus is going on. I'm not happy that I lost my job. I'm not happy that my loved one has lost their job or is sick. What does a lack of contentment do? Well, first off, it makes difficulties more difficult. How many love difficulties? Nobody loves to have difficulties or problems. Nobody wants to lose their job or to be sick. But when we're not content in that situation, it's just going to make it even worse. Do you realize if you'll learn contentment, even when a difficulty comes, you can still have peace in your heart? You can still have the blessing of God working in your life. That God always promises to give you grace. But we miss out on all those things when we just are not content with our circumstances. It just makes the difficult more difficult. It magnifies disappointments. A lot of times things that disappoint us aren't really, if you really step back and look at them, they're not huge things. Now, the coronavirus is a big thing. And if you got it or a loved one gets it, that's something to be concerned about. But when you're not content, when a disappointment comes, it'll seem 10 times bigger than maybe it really is. We can choose to be content. We can learn to be content and thus have something that is very valuable. In fact, when you're not content, you're going to make some poor decisions in life. Yes, you're going to make some poor decisions in life. So the question comes tonight is, how do I learn to be content? Okay, Pastor Rick, you said how valuable it is and that it's something that we should strive for. It'll help us in disappointments and help, we can make better decisions and that when difficulties come, we're able to make it through. How do I learn that? Well, again, Philippians chapter 4 in verse 11. Paul says here, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. It can be learned. Apostle Paul had to learn it. It's not natural for us. In our old sinful flesh, we have a desire to have a lot of things or do a lot of things. Many times see things go the way we think they ought to go, and it just doesn't happen. But you can learn to be content, and thus be able to make it through difficult times. It'll help you so much. And it is hard. Pastor Rick, you don't know my family. You don't know my spouse. You don't know my health. You don't know how much this loss of my job hurts. And you're right, I don't know, but God does. And God can help you when you look to Him. He will supply what you need. He'll give you the strength to make it through this difficult time we face. He'll give you His Word, which will help you make so much better decisions. He'll meet our needs. My God shall supply all your needs. Look at verse 19 of Philippians 4. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God will give you what you need if you'll be content in the circumstances that we face. It doesn't mean you have to like it. Hey, this is great. I wish it was like this all the time. That's not what God's saying. God's saying, despite these circumstances, if you'll just trust me and be content in that I supply all your needs, I'll give you what you need to make it through. I'll strengthen you, and we'll be content in that. It'll make this tough times that we're in so much more easier, so much less difficult if we'll do it. So the question comes, what are some things I can do to learn to be content, or I can get a better hold on how to be content in my circumstances in any area of life. How can I be content? Number one, here's the first thing you should do. You should resist comparing yourself to others. You should resist comparing yourself to others. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you'd like to turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians 10, and we're going to be looking at verse 12. This is what Paul says. He says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves." Now notice the last phrase, "are not wise." Are not wise. It's not wise to compare yourself to others. We should resist that. In fact, that's what he says. We need to watch out for that and resist that because it's not wise. "Well, you know, I wish I had a house like this person." And we ought to be content with what God's given us. "I wish I had a car like that. I wish I looked like that. You know, I wish I looked like, you know, Pastor Troy. I wish I could be, you know, handsome like him." And I don't know why someone would think that. But how about the talent somebody has, or the family they have, or the job they have, or the kids they have? You know, we need to be content where God has us in our circumstances. You know, it would be easy to think, why do I have to live in this state? Why can't I live in another state where there's hardly any coronavirus at all and there's no need for a lockdown? Don't compare yourself to someone else. That is not wise. You know, why do we compare ourselves? Because that's what sinful men do. That's what our society does. It keeps score. And so resist comparing yourself to others. Number two, I think this is the most important one, is to rejoice in what you have. To rejoice in what you have. If you turn to the book of 1 Timothy again, chapter 6, where we started tonight, and look at verse 17. It says, "Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God." Now notice this last phrase, "who giveth us richly all things to" what? Enjoy. You know, ought to rejoice in what we have. And rejoice in what we have. Many times we get in a situation like we're in, the circumstances of this virus that's just devastating our country in many ways. And all we can do is focus in on all the things that we've lost. But let me encourage you to learn to be content is to get a hold of what do I have and what God has given me. And God wants us to enjoy that thing and be thankful for what he's given us. He says to enjoy it. Ecclesiastes 5:19 says this, "Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof, and take his portion and rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God." You know, God has given us so much. And so much to enjoy. You know what a great blessing? I'm glad I live in the United States. In the midst of this circumstance, I believe the greatest nation on the earth. And instead of, oh no, you know, maybe you have coronavirus in a place that would be much different than this. Rejoice in what you have. God's done so much for us. And when we begin to rejoice in what we have, we learn contentment. And when we learn contentment, it'll help us in these tough circumstances. Yeah, I wish things were different. But you know, God's been so good to me. He's blessed me so much. And rejoice in what God's done for you. We have to watch out for this. The when and then trap. There's a trap. The when and then trap. Well, you know, when I get another job, then I'll be happy. When I get married, then I'll be happy. When I get divorced, then I'll be happy. When this virus is over, then I'll be happy. There's nothing wrong with being excited when this kind of, again, runs its course and they have cures and stuff. But listen, you can be happy even amidst these times if you'll learn to be content. That's a hard thing to say, but I believe it's true. That you can be content even though in the difficult times that we have. Even right now, God will bless you. He'll give you grace. And you can have happiness in your heart even in the midst of a tough circumstance. And that comes when we learn to be content. Rejoice in what you have. Here's a third thing you can do to help you with contentment is release what you have to help others. Release what you have to help others. We just read verse 17 of 1 Timothy 6. Let's read it again. And we're going to read through verse 19. It says, charge them which are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up a store for themselves, a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now, please don't be confused. Helping others, these verse 18 and 19, helping others doesn't get you to heaven. If that was the case, there'd be many people that are very charitable around the world that never put their faith in Christ as their Savior. They would go to heaven. But being good and giving to others when we have something to give, given what we have to be a blessing or encouragement or help, doesn't gain you eternal life. What that phrase there, to lay hold on eternal life, what that means is, what is really life? You know, what is really life? And what is really life that God wants us to live is to put others first and be a help when we can. What's something you can do to help somebody? You say, I don't have nothing. I don't even have an extra roll of toilet paper to give somebody. Well, you can pray for people. You can, you say, well, there's social distancing. Call somebody on the phone if that's what you can do. I know in my family at home, we're having a contest between my sister and my brother-in-law who live right down the road and my wife of cooking evening meals for each other. It's something we can do. Now, we got to open the door and kind of throw it in at them. We're trying to do the social distancing. But it's something that we can do. And that is what is really life, to love our neighbor as ourself. And let me encourage you, in a sense, nothing to do with contentment, but great opportunity to minister to others. Yeah, maybe you can't come close to them or people don't want you to come close, but there's a way to minister, an opportunity to share Christ, an opportunity to have a good testimony that, hey, I'm content in my service. This is not fun, but I'm content. God's given me the grace. He supplied what I need. And let that testimony be known to the world. Release what you have to others. And that's very important. Now, there's four precautions when you do that. First off, don't become proud of your wealth. That's what verse 17 says. Charge them are rich in the world, and they not, be not high-minded. Hey, look at me. Look at me. Maybe God's really blessing you. You still have a job. You're still very healthy. And you say, well, God's blessed me so much. Well, God has blessed you, but just don't become proud about that. People don't want to hear that. Don't put trust in money. That's what he says in the verse. Trust not in uncertain riches. You know, there's many people that have lost their job or about to lose it that even a month and a half ago had no idea. They were doing great. And they had all kinds of finances. You don't find your security in a bank account. You know where you get great security? In realizing God said he'll supply my need. And I'll be content in that. A third precaution is use your money, your talent to do good. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Whatever you can do to help your family or help others, don't just waste money. Do something good with it. And to give. That's the fourth thing. We just remember to give. Do what we can. Giving is a cure for materialism. You realize that? A lot of people, I just got to have stuff. I got to have stuff. I got to have stuff. Well, you realize that that's not right. You know, I should find my happiness in the Lord and my contentment in the Lord. Well, the way to learn how to get out of that is to give, and to give cheerfully. And it'll help you in this area of contentment. And then one more thing to do to learn how to be content is focus on what's going to last. If you have your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is what the Apostle Paul, remember, he suffered so much. He had great difficulty. He had terrible circumstances most of the time in his ministry. And in verse 18, this is what he did to help him in the area of being content with his circumstances and to make it through all the things he had to face. Verse 18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." In this time of coronavirus, this time of great difficulty of circumstance, focus on what's going to last. What counts for eternity? Pray for the souls of men, that God would even use this tough circumstance for people to Christ. That's something that's going to count for eternity. Now, don't focus on what I can get, but what I can do with what God's given me. I'm going to be content. He's given me health right now. I'm going to use my health. Maybe I can't, you know, go around and do something specific for someone, but I can pray for them. I can call them on the phone and try to encourage them. And something that matters and counts for eternity. That's what Paul did. And because he did that, no matter what his circumstance, whether it was really good or really bad, he learned to be content because he realized God was going to give him what he needed. And let me encourage you, in the circumstance we face right now, if you'll learn to be content, you'll see God supply in a supernatural way what you need. Might not be exactly what you want, but it'll be what you need. And God has the power to do so. I want to close tonight with a story. And if you just ask your indulgence, I'm going to read this to you. It's a very interesting story. So it's kind of like a parable. Once upon a time, there was a rotund little man with dark, brooding eyes who was obsessed with collecting clocks. The world is filled with almost limitless number of clocks: grandfather clocks, grandmother clocks, cuckoo clocks, alarm clocks, digital clocks, analog clocks, big clocks, little clocks, medium-sized clocks. And our rotund little clock collector with the brooding eyes was obsessed with collecting as many as possible. By day, he thought about clocks. By night, he dreamed about clocks. He visited antique dealers to buy old clocks. He looked on the shelves of department store to buy the latest clocks, and he went to garage sales to find unwanted clocks. Soon he had so many clocks, he had to build a warehouse to hold them. And each time he found a clock, the process was the same. He'd hold the clock, feel the contours of it, listen for its tick, and then take it to his clock warehouse. When he arrived, he'd undo the super heavy-duty padlock on the barbed wire fence. Then he'd drive to the front door, look to make sure there was no one else around, and only when he was sure no one was able to peer on his magnificent collection, he'd quickly unlock the security locks, rush into his warehouse, shut the door behind him, and carefully place his latest acquisition in its allocated place. He was, however, haunted by each visit to his clock warehouse. It was as though each time he opened and shut those doors, someone was whispering in his ear, "Hans of Sweden has more clocks than you. Jillian of London has rarer clocks than you. If only you could get another clock, then you'd be happy." On occasion, the whispering was sinister. "Is your warehouse secure enough? People might steal your clocks." And this whispering started the rotund little clock collector with the brooding eyes. He was sure he could see someone out of the corner of his eye, but the moment he turned, there was nothing. One day, the rotund little clock collector came to his warehouse with his latest prize. He was presently surprised not to hear the whispering inside his head, but his pleasant demeanor ended the moment he opened the warehouse door. There was someone else in the warehouse, right in front of him, a tall, wiry fellow with impish eyes. In his hands, the tall, wiry fellow with the impish eyes held the most exquisite antique cuckoo clock. It was not one of the little rattan clock collector with the brooding eyes had ever seen before. "Who are you?" demanded the clock collector. "Why, I'm a thief," said the tall, wiry man with the impish eyes. With that, he carried the exquisite antique clock to a shelf, placed it gently down, and gave it a quick dusting. "Oh, don't worry. It's not stolen. It's mine. It's my gift to you." As the tall, wiry fellow with the impish eyes spoke, his voice sounded familiar to the rotund little clock collector with the brooding eyes. Yes, that was it. This was the voice of the whisperer. This was the voice that whispered in his ear each time he unlocked his warehouse. "A thief! A thief!" cried the rotund clock collector. "But a thief would be removing clocks from my collection, not adding to them. What sort of thief are you?" "Oh, I haven't come to steal your clocks," replied the tall, wary fellow with the impish eyes. "You know my voice, don't you? You've heard me say many times, Hans has more clocks. Jillian has rarer clocks. If you could only get another clock, is your warehouse secure?" He continued, "I've been here every time you visited your warehouse. I haven't come to steal your clocks, my friend. I've come to steal your contentment." So the question tonight is, are we going to allow something like the coronavirus situation to steal our contentment? The Bible says that contentment is great gain. And if you can learn to be content in this tough circumstance and realize if I just simply trust God, he'll give me exactly what I need. He has the power to do so because he's God. And you choose to be and learn to be content, it'll help you through these difficult times we face. Let's bow. If you're at home, you can bow and we'll ask God to bless what we've heard tonight. Father, a very simple message, but so profound. It can help us through difficult times if we simply would learn to be content. Help us realize how valuable that is. How that if we're content, it'll make the disappointments seem so much less. It'll help us through difficult times. Help us make better decisions. Oh, Father, forgive us when we're not content and we allow this world and all its temptations to rob our contentment. That our own sinful hearts and our greed rob us of our contentment. And Father, when we let circumstances, whether it's coronavirus or some other circumstance that's happened in our life, to rob us of something that's so valuable, our contentment. Father, help us learn, like Paul, whether things are going well or whether things are not going well, help us learn to be content. And Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.